Split program tonight, so this is our final hour with David Icke. We're going to take your phone calls when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, David, before we go to calls, we were talking about how long we've been in Libya right now, and you were saying that you knew this a long time ago.
Well, there was an agenda to create absolute turmoil and mayhem in the Middle East.
Split program tonight, so this is our final hour with David Icke. We're going to take your phone calls when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, David, before we go to calls, we were talking about how long we've been in Libya right now, and you were saying that you knew this a long time ago.
Well, there was an agenda to create absolute turmoil and mayhem in the Middle East, leading to a conflict to draw in China and Russia. Yeah, exactly the form it would take in terms of which country first. We're now seeing the thing unfold. But the whole thing about the turmoil and upheaval in the Middle East, yes, and others have too. It's been a long-term plan leading to what they want to be have is a third world war. And I'll tell you, okay, if I could just say two things, because people are new to this. There's two points I want to make. First of all, they talk about America are sending the troops in, Britain are sending the troops in. Well, only in theory. The way it works is this. They have created this cabal over a long, long period of time, because this didn't start yesterday, didn't even start in the last century. It started long, long ago. They have created a structure which is like a transnational corporation. If you think of something like McDonald's, a simple one, you've got the headquarters somewhere, mm-hmm. and then in each country, you've got the subsidiaries. Now, if you go into an pass them. You pass a McDonald's in Eastern Europe or South Africa or anywhere. It's like passing one in LA, really. It's the same thing. It's the same corporate signature, the same way of doing things. And that's the way that this cabal, a global network, operates. But instead of like subsidiary companies, they are subsidiary networks of secret societies and families that operate in each country. And the job of these subsidiary networks, say in America, the Rockefellers heavily involved in this one, is to manipulate and direct that country's government, banking, business, media, et cetera, in line with the central agenda that's being dictated to all these subsidiary networks. And that is in Europe, in old Europe. It's in places like Rome and London, Paris, whole old Europe.
That's where the holding company is.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not talking about the governments either. I mean, the governments of Britain, France.
Right, I understand.
It's the center of this global secret society bloodline web. So when we talk about America and people, and even this is going on being said very loudly in Britain now, your country is in a desperate financial state. There's people, your people you represent or supposed to, living in tent cities, out of work, wondering where the next meal's coming from, and you are spending $600,000 on every cruise missile that they are launching. Goodness knows what even Libya's cost so far. What's going on? I don't understand it. You're the government of America. No, they're not. They're the government subsidiary of the global cartel. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the cartel goes into Libya under the name of American forces. It goes into Iraq under the name of British forces. They couldn't give a damn about the people. That is why there's never, ever enough money to give people a decent life, dignity, even the basics of shelter and warmth. But there's always enough money, money no object, to kill people and pepper bomb cities. It's because it's about serving the cabal. Now, if we take it to the next level, where they want to go, they want to create a centralized Orwellian global state based on a world government that would dictate to every country in the world. they want a world army that would impose the will of the world government. And I was writing in books 15 years ago that one of the ways they were going to evolve to the world army was to have NATO and NATO countries operating increasingly outside the North Atlantic arena. And that's what they're doing.
And that's what's happening.
They're in Afghanistan. They're talking about now taking the NATO into Libya, et cetera. This is exactly what is unfolding. They want a world central bank that would dictate all finance to every country. And that is one of the major reasons. There are others, too.
And they want a different currency, David.
Yeah. Well, while they're crashing the world economy, when they had the crash in 2008, people were coming forward and saying, to sort this out, we need a world central bank. Now, they plan to create another financial crash that would make the 2008 one seem mild. And then they'll really push this global central bank, and as you say, a world currency, which in the end would not be physical money; it would merely be electronic. And there's a massive reason for that in relation to freedom. If you go into a shop now and you hand over electronic money, a credit card, and they say, "Sorry, won't accept your card. This machine won't accept your card," then at least you can still pay cash.
Yes, you've got that option.
Once cash is out of circulation, they want a global cashless society, then whoever programs the computer system dictates if you purchase or not outside of barter. That's the idea. And the other thing they want is a microchip population with children microchipped at birth as a matter of course, because through the chip, they can manipulate humans physically, mentally, and emotionally. I began chapter and verse on this back in 1997 about this by a CIA scientist who was desperate to get this information out.
Sounds like the sign of the beast from the Bible, isn't it?
Well, some people interpret it like that, but that's what they're looking at. Now, how do they get there? They get there through two techniques, which I've been talking about for 20 years, nearly. One of them I dubbed problem, reaction, solution. Stage one, you create a problem, but you blame someone else for it. You then tell through an unquestioning mainstream media the version of that problem you want people to believe, i.e. Bin Laden orchestrated 9/11, the banking crash of 2008 was just greed and an accident. At the core, it was totally manipulated. And that we're only going into Libya to protect the peaceful protesters. Well, why aren't you going into Bahrain, mate, where the Saudis and the United Arab Emirates and the Bahraini royal family are doing horrors to the people protesting there?
Same thing. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Because Libya is the first on the list. But I tell you this, Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates, they're all on the list. They're all going to go, but it's just a matter of when the time is right, because they need to get them on their side for certain things. And once those things have happened, we don't need you anymore. You're going as well.
Now, when the cabal gets tired of the royal family in Saudi Arabia or the emir in Kuwait, they'll get rid of them.
Well, they're only leaders of convenience. I mean, the House of Saud was put in there with vital support from the British Empire, as they called it then. The Bahraini royal family was the same, supported by the British Empire, et cetera, et cetera. Now, think of this, because everything's tied, because these people are evil, and I don't say that word very often, it's overused, but these people are evil, but they're not stupid. They're very clever in the way that they orchestrate all this, because this goes much deeper than just a few men in dark suits sitting around a table deciding their next move. I went to fill my car up just before I came out here. It's not a big car, it's just a family saloon. And to fill it up cost me £86, which I checked when I got back on the old converter. It's $138, or it was the other day, just to fill up a car. And the justification...
What are you driving, a bus?
No, just a mid-range family car.
All right.
Now, they said that the oil price had gone up because of all the trouble in Libya. And that's 2% of the world production, Libya. What about when it starts in Saudi Arabia? Because it's going to at mm-hmm. some point. I mean, oil's going to go through the roof, which adds to this whole economic catastrophe that they're leading towards. And I need to say just this, because this will kind of pull it together.
Okay.
What they are seeking to do is to create so much chaos in the world and to make, especially economically, and they're there now, governments impotent in reacting to that chaos, i.e., we can't react to any more crashes because we're up to our neck in debt anyway. Debt to who? The banking system. And so the cabal, the cartel, comes forward and says the only way to sort this out is to do this. And it will be World Central Bank. It will be changing the nature of currency until eventually they have a single global currency. And the idea of the Third World War is to bring in a single global army. If you look at the three wars, the First World War, power at the end of the First World War was in dramatically fewer hands than it was before the start. That was the idea.
Right.
Then you get the Second World War, and centralization of power increases even more. We have the United Nations, the Bretton Woods Agreement, the World Bank, the IMF, and all these global institutions. The idea of the Third World War is to create so much mayhem and the rest of it that war brings in among the economic catastrophe and all the rest of it, that they then can say the only way to stop war is to have one global army under one command.
And they'll go anywhere.
And a journalist said to me, a mainstream journalist said to me when I was talking about this once, he said, well, what's the point of a world army? There'd be no one to fight. He actually said that. And I thought, you're a journalist, aren't you? Of course, what is it there to fight? It's there to impose, as I said earlier, the will of the world government on any one country, region, people that wish to not be under that global jackboot.
It's more of a police force, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what it's all there for. But you see, if you have harmony and something is working, then you've got one heck of a job of selling dramatic change. It's like, hold on a second, we don't want to do that. It's fine, just go away. I mean, think about it. We've had a meeting and we've decided to invade Afghanistan. And what? But you put 9/11 in and blame it on bin Laden, supported by the Taliban in Afghanistan. Suddenly, you've got an excuse to go into Afghanistan. And there's another version of problem reaction solution, which is used all the time now, and I call it no problem reaction solution. Not a real problem,
Let me,
of mass destruction in Iraq, no problem, perception of problem, in they go.
Let me ask you about bin Laden, then we'll take calls. We're all lining up here for you, David.
Okay.
Was he part of it in that he knew about it, he was told about it, and you know they'd kind of shuffled him away? What was his role? Is he even alive?
Oh, I think bin Laden's long dead, years and years ago, but through kidney failure, so I understand. But the point is, have you noticed that no one ever talks about him anymore, hardly?
Other than we do on this show once in a while.
Yeah.
But that's it.
The government never talks about him.
Mainstream media doesn't talk about him.
No, because he's made his contribution, and when I say made his contribution, the very figment of the imagination of bin Laden has made its contribution, because he was on the payroll. I mean, what happened?
I always say he was the hired gun.
Well, yeah, but I would say he had nothing to do with 9/11. See, this is an important kind of story, given that we're talking about the Middle East. One of Barack Obama's mentors over a number of years up to the present day is Zbigniew Brzezinski,
right.
Jimmy Carter's national security advisor.
Right. And a globalist.
Or big time. I mean, he was the co-founder of the Trilateral Commission with David Rockefeller. That's one of these network of organizations like the Council of Foreign Relations, etc., that orchestrate American foreign policy and further afield as well. In fact, the Council on Foreign Relations magazine wrote a very supportive article before the situation broke out in Egypt about a man called Mohammed El-Baradi, who I mentioned earlier. And now he arrived during the protests and is now saying he's going to stand to be president of Egypt when elections are eventually held. Interesting connection, actually, here, given we're talking about Brzezinski. I talked about earlier George Soros had a network of organizations, this billionaire Rothschild frontman financier, like the Open Society Institute, which specializes in triggering spontaneous people's revolutions. Well, on the board of that of one of his organizations in his network, an organization called the International Crisis Group, again, same thing, is Mohammed El-Baradi. And also involved in that organization with Soros and El-Baradi is Zbigniew Brzezinski. So Brzezinski is absolutely right in here. And if you read Brzezinski's books, they're very prophetic about what is happening now because he knew what was going to come. He wasn't a prophet who got it out of the ether. He just knew what the agenda was.
He saw the playbook.
Yeah. Well, he's involved in writing it. But where I'm going with this is a few years ago, Brzezinski said in an interview with a Paris magazine that when he was Jimmy Carter's national security advisor, he funded and trained people in Afghanistan to resist and make life difficult for the government in Kabul at that time, that was a Soviet satellite government. And he said, what we were trying to do, and it succeeded, was to entice the Soviet Union to invade Afghanistan to protect its satellite government and give the Soviet Union, quote, its Vietnam. They bought the bait. They invaded. A million Afghans died in the years of that occupation, plus goodness knows how many Soviet Union troops. To highlight and give a focal point to this resistance to the Soviet invasion, all orchestrated, they brought a man out of Saudi Arabia called Osama bin Laden to be the front man of this, and he was on the payroll.
That's right.
The people that were trained originally and funded by Brzezinski later became known as the Mujahideen and the Taliban. And ironically, we now have Brzezinski's mentor increasing troop numbers in Afghanistan to fight the Taliban and etc., which was all part of orchestrated by Brzezinski. And people think, well, that's what a contradiction. How could Brzezinski do that? And now say, well, because the common denominator is what suits the agenda for global control
at the time.
And that's why it appears to be a crazy contradiction, but it isn't, because the common denominator is what suits us at the time. And so bin Laden then became a kind of a focal point for terrorists, fear of terrorists, and this Al Qaeda thing started appearing, which means database. And the one-time foreign secretary in Britain, a guy called Robin Cook,
hold on right there, David. We're right at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be back with calls too. And our very special guest this hour, David Icke. Next hour, we're going to talk about some solutions for alternative energy when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. David, let's let you wrap up real quickly on bin Laden, then off to the calls.
Yeah, just very quickly. It's a significant point, really. Robin Cook, former British Foreign Secretary, who resigned from government later over the invasion of Iraq, just before he died of a heart attack, he wrote an article for a main national newspaper in Britain pointing out that Al-Qaeda means the base or the database, because it was referring to the database, the CIA database, which held all the names of the Mujahideen fighters originally funded and trained by Brzezinski. He never brought the Brzezinski in, but the rest of it he did say. And so at the very least, the world is not like we think it is. The world as it's reported is not like it is. I was a mainstream journalist and television presenter for years, and some of the most uninformed people on the planet are journalists and politicians. They're just fodder, and they are repeaters, most journalists. They just repeat the official story, because it's easier that way. When you challenge the official story, there are challenges for you, but it's just repeating. And what happens is you might get at first when something happens, oh, government says this. But after that, the government says is dropped, and it just becomes official history when it's just someone saying it. And I don't know if you've noticed this. I whenever there's something like Libya or Iraq, I always seem to say the same thing, and I have to smile. I see the mainstream journalists suddenly being journalists on one side by saying Gaddafi has said this or Saddam Hussein has said this, but we have no independent verification. But when they're quoting their own governments, there's no mention of we've got no independent verification, which of course they haven't.
Right. They take it as face value.
Yes, exactly. And as a result, what you see on the television news and in the newspapers is basically a movie. It's a movie to give you a version of events for your perception that hides the real events that are going on behind that smokescreen.
Like the Wizard of Oz. Let's go to Jack in Rockford, Illinois. First-time caller. Go ahead, Jack. Thanks for holding.
You're welcome. Hello, George. Hello, David.
Hello, Jack.
Thank you for the work you both do. Hey, David, I follow all your work, and I have two quick questions and one comment.
Okay.
But first, when will you be coming to Chicago?
I tell you what it's like, Jack, when someone asks me. Because what happens is, you know, I put events on for myself once every couple of years in a big event in London. But when I speak around the world, like in Los Angeles on Saturday, people just say, we'd like you to come and speak here. Will you do it? And we'll organize it. And that's how it works.
Right, they put it together. Sure.
Yeah, so that's how it's done. I mean, you know, I travel the world on my own, you know, and other people in the different countries put these things on. So when someone asks me, I'll go. It's a very important place, and you got Rahm Emanuel, so I wish you well, Jack.
Well, I'm going to cross my fingers and hope it'll be soon that you come to Chicago. Barack Obama, on the surface, it appears that he is just another puppet of the Illuminati. However, some sources say that he is a highly advanced soul who will lead us to the promised land. Is there any scenario that you can envision that at the end of the day, he will turn out to be one of the good guys?
None whatsoever. Funnily enough, the last time I think I talked with George was around the time that he just got elected. I remember saying was the effect of
a couple of years ago. That's
yeah,
right.
He hadn't got into power then. He'd been elected, but he hadn't, you know, gone through the inauguration. And I remember saying, you know, I'm feeling quite lonely because it seems I must be one of the few people in the world that doesn't buy Obama and all that's going on. And you know, I wrote an article, The Naked Emperor, at the time he was elected, saying that he was a fraud, that he was a front man for the cabal, and he would do the same, and it would just be the continuation of Bush and more, and all these things he'd got into office by saying he would do, he would not do. And I said in this article, I see it on my website now, that despite claims, appearances, and image, this man is not against war, and he will, if that's what the cabal wants, lead America into further wars, never mind end the ones they're already in. And they're bombing Libya as I speak. No, see, the thing is, the way the structure works, it is so controlled now that whoever stands for the Republicans or the Democrats is a front man for the cabal, and because you need, I mean, look at what it costs to run to win the inauguration,
the nomination
of your own party.
Sure. Millions.
Unbelievable. And then you've got to do it again. And that kind of money does not come without strings attached, and it certainly doesn't go to people who genuinely want to stand up and do things that are right, just, and fair by the people, as opposed to the cabal. So it has got to this point now where someone would say to you, is the president involved? And the answer is he the president? Well, yeah. Well, he's involved then. Not necessarily at the cutting edge, certainly not, but at the point of playing it out. Because in America, I know they call it a free country and a democracy and all these things, but the power that is given to one man to do all these things, including now he's going to war, decides it basically. Oh, well, UN agreed it. Well, did the American people or the Congress agree? No, well, never mind that. And therefore, in effect, if you can control one man in America, that's all, the president, you wield fantastic power. I mean, it's the Obama that pressed, et cetera, for the bailout of the banks. And they're the cabal's banks, and he's the cabal's man. That's why they bailed out the banks at the expense of the people. In Britain, Tony Blair, and then at the time of the 2008 collapse, Gordon Brown, the Prime Minister, mm-hmm. was the cabal's man. That's why he bailed out the British banks. The guy in Ireland, Brian Cowan, who, if he had a brain cell, it would die of loneliness. He became leader of the country because he was the cabal's man. And he bailed out the banks, which has put the island economy into catastrophe for years, maybe even generations ahead. This is what they're doing. Because they're the cabal's man, they make their decisions based on the cabal's interest, not the people. And there's no way that Obama would get where he is unless he had strings in the right places, shall we say.
Let's go to Laura in Wilmington, North Carolina. Go ahead, Laura. You're on with David Icke.
Hi. George, I love your show.
Thanks, Laura.
And I think you're awesome. I just love you. And David Icke, I've read your book. The only book I've read by you is And the Truth Shall Set You Free.
All right, yeah.
Oh, it 1995, was so good.
Yeah.
I actually had a dream about you that night when I finished reading.
That was a nightmare. It was a nightmare, Laura.
No, we were together. We were fighting like an invisible force.
Oh, well, I'm all for that.
And which is kind of ironic because that's what's really going on. But anyway, I wanted to talk to you about World War III.
Yep.
And you mentioned that you think everyone's kind of working together. All the powers that be are working together against us, the little people. And I'd really like for you to convince me that the powers that be aren't quarreling amongst themselves. And well, that they really, you know, I think that it's just kind of human nature that people would actually, you know, not get along and they'd end up fighting amongst themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I'm kind of nervous.
Well, that's okay.
I'm a first-time caller.
Well, let's see what he says. Go ahead, David.
Well, I have actually talked about this in my books, and I've talked about it in my new one, Human Race, Get Off Your Knees, a kind of prophetic title, given it came out a few months ago. You're right, they do. But what it is you have it's like you could symbolize it as a pyramid, you could symbolize it as a spider's web. You've got the spider in the center, let's put it that way. That is the inner sanctum that knows the whole deal, what's going on, what the game is, how it's played, and where they want to go in fine detail. Then as you come out from the spider along the web, the closer you are to the spider, the more you know. That's where the real exclusive secret societies and groupings are. And then it comes further out of the web through other secret societies and then into the semi-secret organizations like the Bilderberg Group. And eventually you're hitting organizations like the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations that actually operate in public knowledge, in the public arena. Now, obviously, coming down through that web further and further from the spider, you're also starting to hit prime ministers, heads of NATO, presidents of the United States, heads of the World Bank, and all this stuff. And some of those people will be fully supportive of the plan and in knowledge of doing it. But a lot of these people are here today, gone tomorrow politicians who are not in total understanding, some of them, of what actually is happening, but they're there to do a job, and often through blackmail, because they make sure that if people are in power, A, they are trustworthy in the sense that they absolutely know what's going on and support it, the few, or they're people in power that are going, for various reasons, they're going to do what they're asked. And a lot of this comes about by knowing what they don't want to come out. Oh, and that's very much part of the way that a lot of politicians are made to go ways they don't really want to go. And yes, whenever you are in an organization or a group which is about power over, you're going to have people who are fighting with each other over that power, yes. But in the end, that center, that spider, which holds terror for anyone that knows of its existence, because they will have been aware as they've come through the ranks what happens to you if you upset that inner sanctum, then in the end they get heads banged together, and it comes along in the end the way that the spider wants it to happen. But there is arguments, and there are people who often don't want to go this way, but they think, well, if I don't go this way, look what happens to me, and so I will. And this is why you get people who come into office sometimes who often generally want to go in a certain direction with a policy, and then suddenly they'll go somewhere else. And you think, well, what are you doing? This is the opposite of what you said you stood for. Now, sometimes that's just because they lied to get in and then do what they intended to all along. But some of the time it's literally because they've been given the facts of life about what happens to you if you don't go the way that this cabal wants you to go. So it's not just everybody is for it and knows it 100% and they're all in favor of it and working together. It is more complex than that. But at the center, they are calling the shots in the end. And this is why if someone's in a country and they're not playing the game, then there'll be some scandal, or there'll be some coup, or there'll be some manufactured reason why they have to be removed and all the rest of it, just to get rid of them. And this is happening constantly all over the world. You know, there's Iran, for instance, had a leader in the 1950s called Mossadegh, who was...
He's the one that the Shah tossed out, right?
Yeah. He wanted to get a fair share of oil revenues for the people of Iran, which is fair enough. Well, that wasn't fair enough for the British and the Americans, and they orchestrated a coup.
How do you win?
And he was under house arrest for the rest of his life. And they brought the Shah in, who was obviously a vicious piece of work that ran that SAVAK, horrendous secret police. But when the point came when he needed to go, well, they moved him out as well, because this brings us back to these leaders in the Middle East and these bogus royal dynasties, or they'll made them up. They are leaders of convenience for as long as it's convenient to the agenda, and when it's not, they'll go. And now it's time to turn the page there, and so they're all going to go eventually.
Well, let's go to Jimmy in Brooklyn, New York, east of the Rockies. Hi, Jimmy, go ahead.
Hi. Excuse me. 1950 or the early 50s, there was the Reese Committee, otherwise known as the House Committee to Investigate the Tax-Exempt Foundations.
Right.
They thoroughly investigated the major foundations and came to the conclusion, totally proven, that all the foundations are going to use all their money, wealth, and influence to push us through various ways into a world government. But I have a problem with the guest when he says that we're going to lure Russia and China into conflict. And he also says we enticed the Soviets to invade Afghanistan. I don't understand how, when we look at history, and these things are historical, they could be checked, how it always turns out with some people that America is always the bad guy. There's no way you could talk about world government without talking about the Soviets and the Red Chinese. After all, their quest for world government murdered like 150 million people in 70 years. That's the equivalent of two trade center attacks every day for 70 years, and I've been inside the
Okay,
communist.
Let's get his reaction. I don't think he's saying that the Soviets and the Chinese are Boy Scouts, but go ahead, David.
Oh, am I? Heck, and a little while ago, about maybe 15 minutes ago, I pointed out that this was not about America. We have to put this thing about America and Britain aside. What we're talking about are satellite governments of this global cabal using the resources and the people of America to further the interests of the cabal. It's nothing to do with America. Let's get the nationalistic thing out of it for a start. It's not about blaming America. Absolutely the opposite. In fact, this is a very important point. What's actually happening, and America needs to wake up to it, and it's starting to, with increasing numbers of people, America is actually currently being used to destroy America. Because when you want a world government that's dictating to all countries, you can't have superpowers with the military and financial might to say no to you. You've got to bring everyone to heel. So the irony is that while this cabal is using America's resources, America's young people, to play out these scenarios leading to global control, at the same time they are destroying America financially and militarily by extending it to the levels that it is. We have a situation where America, not America actually, this cabal's representatives in America are spending more on military spending than virtually everyone else in the world combined. Now, that is not to protect America. It is to use America to further the interests of acquisition and expansion. And ironically, and this is what we need to understand when we look at this.
30 seconds, Dave.
The leaders in China and the leaders in Russia, like Putin, if they go to war, they won't go and fight it. Bush didn't go and fight in Iraq, and Obama's nowhere near Libya. It's their people that will fight any wars, and the leaders of these countries are also connected to the cabal. It's a game.
David Icke will be at the Santa Monica Civic Auditorium this Saturday. Information at David Icke, I-C-K-E, David Icke in Los Angeles.com. David, thanks so much. As usual, you always are thought-provoking. I'll be back in a moment.